What's going on, everybody? Alan Kenny, managing editor, crystalballrun.com, the Blog UN Network's national college football blog. We've been previewing the Big Ten all week at Crystal Ball Run, so I brought in our noted Big Ten expert, Andy Coppins. He writes for Madtown Badgers and the B1G Time, both Blog UN Network blogs covering Wisconsin, of course, and the Big Ten. I figured who better to fill us in on everything that's been going on this season. Let's go ahead and bring him on. Andy, what's going on, man?
Hey, not too much, Alan. Thank you so much for having me on. Finally on an actual official Crystal Ball Run podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, you do a lot of the ad hoc hangouts and everything on Google. And, you know, one of our real talented young writers who contributes quite a bit to the site. So I'm pumped to have you on too, man. So, you know, obviously we're going to be talking about the Big Ten, and it's funny, I don't know if you're familiar with Ramsey Nasrallah. He writes for 11 Warriors, the Ohio State site. I had him on, you know, I tried to do a podcast with him about once a year, and I had him on last year. I mean, it was about, you know, a few weeks into the season, and, you know, I asked him, I was like, you know, listen, the Big Ten is getting a really, really tough rap this year. You know, people are, you know, I mean, you know, the usual Big Ten jokes, but it seems like there's a little extra bite this year, you know, with the conference. You know, I mean, and I, you know, I asked him, is this conference really as bad as people are making it out to be? And, you know, I mean, him being a Big Ten fan, I expected, you know, the usual, oh, no, you know, really people are overlooking X, Y, and Z. And, I mean, he was flat out. He said, no, you know, I mean, this is, yeah, this is as bad as it seems. I mean, do you agree?
Last year, if you're talking last year specifically, yeah, I would agree. I mean, you take a look at what happened when, you know, the big guys, when Wisconsin, when Nebraska and Michigan, when they took on the top level talent that they ended up taking on, they all lost out of conference. You look, you know, Michigan gets hammered by Alabama. Nebraska goes into the Rose Bowl, loses to UCLA, who turns out to be a very good football team. And same with Wisconsin going out to Corvallis and losing to Oregon State. So you had to tip your hat and say, hey, it's a down year. But the other part of that equation for me was the fact that I think the Big Ten didn't do itself a lot of good over the past two seasons when you take a look at who Michigan lined up against, who Wisconsin lined up against, and who Ohio State had on their schedule for cross-division games. I mean, Wisconsin, you know, they got Michigan State, they got Nebraska, they got two of the big three, and you know, so that really didn't help things. And now I think things are kind of, you know, equaling themselves out as we move into 2013.
So you mentioned things equaling themselves out there. I mean, If you're looking at the conference this year and you have to single out maybe like one reason why you think overall the level of play would be better, I mean, could you pick one out?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of returning talent this season. Despite, you know, what people say about the defensive side of the ball, on offense, there is a lot to like about this conference. A lot of returning talent, even though Monte Ball and Denard Robinson, who are, you know, the two biggest names out there, aren't coming back with everything behind them pretty much does, and that bodes well for a conference that's really, I think, in the midst of changing its identity. You know, people think of this conference as kind of that 3 yards in the cloud of dust, and that's always the joke, you know, even in these parts here in Big Ten country. But I will say this, there are maybe three or four teams that are left that play that traditional, you know, pro style, pound the ball, pound the rock type of an offense. There are a lot of spread offenses, a lot of, you know, new talent and a lot of a lot more speed coming into this conference than there has been in the past. And I think if you look towards 2013, I think that's what's going to be different. And I think the other thing, the thing that can be optimistic is, unlike this past few seasons, the big boys pretty much avoid each other in cross-divisional play. And that can only help in terms of elevating the top, you know, the name brands, the Nebraskas, the, you know, Ohio States, Michigans, the Wisconsins. It can only help elevate them with better records. Let's face it, better records for better named teams equals better, you know, how people perceive this conference.
Yeah, you certainly start to see more teams maybe coalesce there and closer to the top 10, top 15. You know, a big story last year, of course, was Ohio State and the Buckeyes, of course, being ineligible. for postseason play. They probably would have been playing Notre Dame for the national championship otherwise. A lot of people, of course, picking Ohio State again to potentially make another undefeated run this year. A lot to like about this team, but if there's one aspect you look across the roster or, you know, maybe the schedule, I mean, if you think that there's one thing that might do this team in, you know, I mean, what would that be?
Well, I think if you're just looking at it on paper, I think the thing that screams out at people is the fact that they lose almost every one of their starting front seven from last season. The only guy who returns is Ryan Shazier, and that's a great part to have. However, when you lose your entire front four, when you lose two of your three linebackers, I don't care who you are, how talented the guys are behind you, unless your name is Alabama as of late, chances are you're going to see some sort of a drop-off.
Mm-hmm.
And let's also remember that 2012 was about offense for Ohio State. They're the number one scoring offense, averaging 37.2 points a game. They're sixth in scoring defense, giving up 22.8. And, you know, if you look at their defensive numbers, they were sixth in total defense. Rushing defense, they were, you know, they were up there. But otherwise, you know, they struggled in some areas. You know, eighth in pass offense and 11th in pass defense for, you know, having Christian Bryant and Bradley Roby back. You know, there are some issues that could stumble this team. And you also look at the fact that they could have easily lost five or six games, arguably. I would venture to say at least five games. And if it wasn't for Braxton Miller, who returns this year, this team could have been in some trouble last year. And I think you have to look at that defense and figure out, well, can those guys that are plugging in, guys like Adolphus Washington, Tommy Shutt, Noah Spence on the defensive end, if those guys can, you know, step up their game right out the gate, then this team will be fine. And I think you could be looking at a possible another undefeated season, which I think we'll know come September 28th with that matchup with Wisconsin. That has to be the number one. And in my mind, it is the number one game in the conference this year, because it all hinges in the leaders division on who wins that game.
Yeah, I was downright shocked at how poorly their secondary played last year.
Yeah, you know, for the talent that they have, that's the thing. It really did surprise me that they gave up as many yards as they did. And sure, you could say that some teams were playing catch-up, but, you know, Indiana absolutely torched them in their game. And they could have easily lost the game to Indiana. You know, think of that. I mean, they almost lost to Purdue. You know, Michigan State gave them a hell of a game. And Wisconsin did it, too, if it wasn't for a fumble on the one-yard line and a missed field goal. After that, you know, Wisconsin could have come out a winner in that game, and we're talking to them, you know, about an Ohio State team that was, you know, pretty average last year.
Yeah, and you can't talk Ohio State, of course, without talking their big rival, the Michigan Wolverines. Denard Robinson, he's an exciting player, but of course now he's off to the NFL. But do you really think that his departure is it that big of a deal for Michigan?
No, to be 100% honest, I think you saw it if you paid attention down the stretch of last season, even when Denard was hurt. This team needs to be a pro-style offense. That's what their personnel is, and Denard Robinson is nothing of pro personnel.
Mm-hmm.
A guy is a straight-up athlete. He is an athlete with the ball in his hand, and you know he wasn't a great throwing quarterback, and asking him to do that with the personnel they had and the style of offense was asking a little bit much. I think, you know, as long as Devin Gardner stays healthy, this team is going to be better off for it.
Yeah, Gardner looks like he's just, like you mentioned, just such a better fit. He seemed to have a better sense of that offense too. Al Board just there with that pro style attack. Let's move on. Another top contender in this conference this year, Nebraska. Now, it's kind of funny. I always think about Nebraska as, of course, there's the run game, the option, but also that black shirt defense. And last, I mean, it just seems like even with Bo Pelini, I mean, that's kind of his thing. I mean, he's a defensive coordinator by trade, but the black shirts have really fallen off the past few years. I mean, what do you see happening with that defense?
You know, and that, again, that is the question entering 2013 is, can they find some answers on defense? The defensive line, you know, Jason Ankara is the only one that really returns. They have some nice parts in the secondary as well. But on the whole, for me, that is, you know, and it's funny, Alan, you mentioned black shirts. It's one of those things over at the B1GTime.com that we kind of hesitate to use because they haven't earned that moniker, I would say, in almost 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, even before Pelini was there, that team was not a good defensive team for a very long time. And if they want to be anything other than just perennial division champions, they want to compete and win a title in the conference for the first time since 1999, somebody's got to step up on that defensive side of the ball. Otherwise, I honestly think, you know, and this is one of the bold predictions that I have that I will be unveiling shortly over at the B1G time. I think Bo Pelini's on some thin ice if they do not improve that defense, because I don't see this offense being able to carry this team beyond a 9-win season.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, being an Oklahoma fan, you know, I mean, Oklahoma obviously and Nebraska has such a long running rivalry. I mean, and the thing is that it honestly hurts me to see Nebraska like this, because I just have such respect for their program and their fan base in general. I mean, they have some of the most they have rabid fans, but at the same time, very, very nice, very, very classy. And you know, and it's just hard for me to watch all this go down. And I think you're right. You know, Pelini, his name keeps coming up in the offseason, not only for, not necessarily even being on the hot seat, but looking around at other jobs and whatnot. And I keep wondering, how much longer it's going to be there. I just don't get the feeling that he's really endearing himself to that fan base or the administration there.
No, and I think some of that is his personality. You know, to be 100% honest, the guy is pretty gruff. And no matter what you end up asking him, and Lord knows I've had plenty of opportunities to actually get a chance to talk to Bo Pelini, believe it or not, and he does not want to interview. And, you know, that hurts, especially for, you know, really being the face of the program now, especially with Tom Osborne gone. He is the face, and it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. And like you mentioned, the fan base I feel bad for as well, because they are very, very nice people, and they're also knowledgeable fans. Mm-hmm. for the most part. The first time, you know, that very first Big Ten game will always stick out in my mind. I was in Madison for that game against Wisconsin, and if there was ever two fan bases that have a natural rivalry but an affinity for each other, it's those two fan bases. They fit in very well together, and they have a lot of fun together, but they also have a healthy rivalry between each other already. And for me, you know, it's a shame, because Bo Pelini, being that defensive guy, you gotta think he would find answers sooner than later, and this could be the year that maybe they do. They have some young talent that I do like, but I want to see it in games before I, you know, kind of give it that stamp of approval.
Defense isn't a problem for Michigan State, of course, but what's happening to the offense there?
Yeah, if you had the answer to that, you'd be a very rich man. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Andrew Maxwell. You know, Kirk Cousins was a godsend for this program. A rock, you know, solid starter for 4 years, and really, you know, built this program to what it is, along with Mark D'Antoni and Pat Narduzzi and what the defense has done. But man, oh man, what a difference a solid quarterback can make for your team.
No doubt.
Wow. Last year it was not pretty. And, you know, you take a look at, you know, what happened in the bowl game with the backup quarterback coming in and really making them win that game on his back. That's not a good sign for Andrew Maxwell. It appears that he has kind of edged himself back into the starting role through the spring. I'd be very nervous if I was a Spartan fan, if I was wearing the green and white, that, you know, we're going to see him transgress or regress, I should say, into what he was last season, which was at times an effective quarterback and at times the guy who's going to lose you a football game. And you can't have that at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, if he could put it together, I mean, they had they were one of those teams that, you know, some teams end up on the right side of the ledger when you're in a bunch of close games, and they just could not get over the hump. And I think obviously a lot of that you have to put on Maxwell.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, you know, you take a look at that game against Wisconsin. It wasn't Andrew Maxwell that won it. You can make the argument that Wisconsin really beat themselves in terms of, you know, losing Joel Stave and having to go to Danny O'Brien and not being able to trust in a kicker and whatever else was there. You know, they lost some very close games. What is it, four games by less than 4 points? Mm-hmm. And so if you change those games around, you know, flip them around, that Ohio State game was a very close game, the Wisconsin game. There were a lot of things that could go right this season that didn't go right last season. But then again, they may have gone wrong for a reason. And a lot of it, I think, has to do with Andrew Maxwell. And now you look at 2013, the guy who really put the offense on his back, Le'Veon Bell, last season, over 300 carries last year, off to the NFL in the second running back taken in the draft overall. You know, they've got some youth and some talent there, but on the whole, it's still freshmen that they're going to be relying on to take over at running back. And when you have a quarterback who can't be the anchor and you're asking, you know, running backs that are freshmen to do that, that's a lot.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now, of course you write for Madtown Badgers, part of the Blogging Win Network. Wisconsin, now this is interesting. Gary Anderson is actually one of my, he was certainly one of the best kind of mid-majors up-and-comers out there. You know, Barry Alvarez went and snatched him away, of course, from Utah State after Brett Bielema left for the Arkansas job. How's the identity of the program changed if you had to, you know, I mean, you know, if you had to pick anything out?
I would use two words. I would use family and aggressive. If you follow Wisconsin football, you know there's a lot of on the field. There's a lot of defense that was too deep zone, a lot of soft coverage, you know, kind of allowing the play to play in front of them and making plays that way. That's not the case anymore. There's music being blared and just a sense of fun and aggressiveness out of practice. It showed in the spring game, and it's not an in your face type of a coaching situation. That's not who Gary Anderson is, but he also shows the family atmosphere. You know, they did the dance off competition that mm-hmm. went viral and whatnot. And really the difference I think between last year and this year, especially in the off season, is players bought in right away to Gary Anderson and his philosophy on how he wants this program to look and how he wants this program to run. And that's hard to do when you've got 20 plus seniors on this roster that have gone through a program, you know, pretty much set in stone. And that's a credit to Gary Anderson. It's a credit to Dave Aranda, you know, who came with him. As a Wisconsin person, I've bought in to who Gary Anderson is and what he's about. And that says a lot when you can do that before you've ever seen them play a game.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Were you sorry to see Bielema go?
Yes and no, and I was on the Bielema bandwagon for a long time. I didn't understand some of the people's hatred towards him, the personal side. I get if you've got qualms about some of the clock management, and you can argue that back and forth. That's part of being a fan. That's part of being a commentator. I understand all of that, but the personal stuff I didn't understand until later into the year, you know, in my dealings with him and some of the other stuff. And what he said afterwards and how he went about leaving Wisconsin was what drove fans crazy. I think, you know, there's a way to handle things, and he just didn't do it with class and really respect for Barry Alvarez, who handpicked him to be his successor. And Barry Alvarez is like a saint amongst the Wisconsin fan base.
Yeah,
Ticking him off is not a good option.
Yeah, I love that. Was such a boss move of him to just take the team and you know, and saddle up there for the Rose Bowl. That was classic Alvarez. Let's talk Penn State. Of course, this was the big story in the Big Ten a year ago. Andy, is this the year when you think the sanctions start to hit and the losses, suspensions really kind of start to show their effect on the program?
I don't think it's the loss of scholarships that's really going to be what hits this season. I think more than anything else for me, the thing that people may not be paying enough attention to, because let's face it, the scholarships, the sanctions, all the off-the-field stuff still is what gets the attention. For me, it's the fact that they lose Michael Mauddy, they lose Matt McGloin, they lose Jordan Hill, and you know, they lose a ton of talent. Gerald Hodges is another name. They lose a lot off of this team that was the reason why they were successful last year. They were senior laden. They had been through it all before. They had seen pretty much everything that they could see in college football. And I think last year was a special year because of that and because the seniors were around. And the seniors were there and experienced everything. And there were a lot of them. There's not a lot of them this year. And I think that's going to be the difference between 2012 and 2013 for me. Obviously, you know, Tyler Ferguson versus Christian Hackenberg, the, you know, number one pro style quarterback in college, or coming into college this season. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Can Bill O'Brien, you know, the kind of that quarterback guru type of a scenario, can he do it in fall camp and get this team rolling? Or do they kind of fall back to earth? I tend to kind of fall on the they're going to fall back to earth category this year, because I think last year was a special year, like I said, with Maudie and all the circumstances around it. I think this team really rallied around itself. I think that's kind of gone this year with, you know, new leadership and new stuff on this team. It's going to be interesting to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, now, how long do you think O'Brien really sticks around there in Happy Valley?
You know, that is a very, very good question. Obviously, the NFL is always going to come sniffing around, and he is an NFL guy, but I do think he has a sense of he owes it to Penn State to at least stick around through these sanctions and kind of get this program, you know, through that time period. I really do believe that, because why else would you take that job? You're a glutton for punishment otherwise, and it just doesn't make sense to me. Could he take an offer? You know, let's say Bill Belichick leaves and he goes back to the Patriots. That's an option, obviously. But without a spectacular offer out there, I just don't see him jumping at the first, you know, thing that comes along his way.
Looking around, you know, there are a few teams we didn't cover here. You know, teams like Iowa, teams like Northwestern. Who's going to be that surprise team in the Big Ten this year?
Well, for me, I'll break it into divisions. In the leaders division, I think the name that you have to circle is Indiana. They have an explosive offense. They've got a lot of returning talent. Cody Latimer, Shane Wynn, just two names, you know, at the receiving position. Stephen Houston at running back, an improved offensive line with better experience behind them. And then the quarterback position is pretty loaded, believe it or not. You got Trey Roberson, Nate Sudfeld, and Cameron Kaufman, and all three of them have shown spurts of being a good quarterback. Now, the question is who wins that battle, and I think that might dictate how well this team can be or can perform this year. The other part of this equation is what does this defense look like? It was very young last season. There are some nice parts. One of the guys to watch, obviously, is Mark Murphy, son of a former Packer, a very heavy hitter at safety. Question about him is a little bit of range. But for me, I think, you know, there are some nice parts. There's some youth, again, at defense, how quickly it can gel. But overall, I think you take a look at their schedule as well. They have the ability to at least get to that 7-5, maybe an 8-win, 8-4 season, which, you know, hasn't happened in a long time in Memorial Stadium in Bloomington. But moving to the other side in the Legends division for me, Alan, I really have to think Minnesota. It pains me as a guy who's a Badger fan, but I think it only – you take a look at Jerry Kill's track record, and this is something I wrote during our Minnesota week last week over at the B1G time. Jerry Kill's track record everywhere he's been is year one is, you know, kind of ho-hum, whatever is there is there. The record, you could throw it out the window. Year two, there's a slight improvement. And year three, they make a skyrocketing leap. It happened at Southern Illinois. It happened at Northern Illinois especially. And look where that program is now, thanks a lot to what Jerry Kill brought to that table. Now, the question is, do they have the skill position, guys, to make that kind of a jump in the Big Ten? For me, I don't really necessarily think so. I think this team could be better and their record could be worse, which is weird. But you take a look at their schedule, they have some very, very tough games. Mm-hmm. You know, they have Ohio State on the schedule this year. Obviously, Wisconsin in the battle for the axe, which they are in desperate need of. If they don't, it's a decade of being dominated by their rival, which is never good. You know that your history at Oklahoma. So
yeah, exactly, yeah.
But for my money, though, they have some very, very nice parts. If they can pull it all together, though, I wouldn't be shocked to see this team be, a 7 or 8 win team and be a vastly improved by the numbers type of a team as well.
Yeah, you know, looking here at the schedule, it actually looks relatively manageable. You know, I mean, they get a 50-50 game with Iowa in, you know, there in Minneapolis. They do have to go to Indiana. But, you know, Penn State, Wisconsin at home, Nebraska at home. I mean, those are games where I'd probably make Minnesota an underdog, certainly not out of the realm of possibility that they could pull those off. So, yeah, I see where you're coming from there. And then with Indiana, I mean, you know, Kevin Wilson, he was Oklahoma's offensive coordinator for a long time. He's an interesting cat because, I mean, he really is just a really, really good football coach, just flat out, you know. But, I mean, you know, I always heard, you know, people always wondered how come he hadn't gotten a head coaching job yet in Oklahoma. He was there for, you know, quite a while. And, you know, I mean, I always heard that he was just a train wreck in interviews when he would go to meet with these schools. Yes. But, He's made Indiana pretty fun, though, from what I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, hey, get ready for Candy Stripe football this year with the helmets and all of that there. You know, but for me, he has done yeoman's work in the recruiting aspect, too, which is, you know, something I don't think a lot of people expected out of him necessarily. You know, he landed Darius Latham this year, a great four-star prospect on the defensive line. He's, you know, he was in on the Gunnar Keel situation and all of that, so... I really think that this team is on the upswing. They've got a lot to like about, you know, Memorial Stadium is a underrated place. When it's packed, when it's full, it's a loud place. The facilities are good there. And the tailgating, you know, if you haven't been to Bloomington, if you haven't experienced it, the tailgating there is, I would say, one of the better tailgating atmospheres, which, let's face it, if you can sell that to families and sell that to families of recruits, that only helps things. And you know, from covering Oklahoma too, family and you know, moms and dads that play a big role in a lot of recruits' lives.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Andy, we kind of hit on everything that I was hoping to get to. Obviously, you're doing a bunch of stuff for us over at Crystal Ball Run this week. But what are you guys working on at the B1G time right now?
Right now, we're in the throes of Michigan State Week. So, if you want to check out what we've got going on there. We're also in the throes of giving our positional rankings out. The last part out was the quarterback position group. And I think people would be a little surprised to see who has the top spot in the Big Ten. It's a team that we haven't really talked about much in Northwestern. So that's a team that I'm high on as my sleeper to win the Legends division. And it's going to be interesting to see what goes on. But check it out, the b1gtime.com.
Yeah, Northwestern, they got some serious love from Las Vegas too. I don't know if you looked at the games of the year lines that the Golden Nugget released, but you know, at least the odds makers are really buying the Wildcats too. So that's an interesting program. Everything that's going on there with Pat Fitzgerald. Well, Andy, thanks so much, man, for coming on, filling us in. You know, just a wealth of knowledge about the Big Ten and, you know, America's most prestigious conference. Well, thanks again for coming on, Andy. Really appreciate it, man.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
And thank you all for joining us, too. For CrystalBallRun.com, I'm Alan Kenny. You take your-